In the Old Testament, we have some passages which exalt women. We find women being lifted up in the books of Esther and Ruth. You may remember some information, favorable information, about a woman named Deborah. Most are also familiar with how Proverbs ends, Proverbs 31, the worthy woman. After the Old Testament closes, though, between Malachi and Matthew, there is a period of about 400 years. And during this 400-year period, we have what has often been referred to as the silent years. God was not sending prophets to his people. God has been called silent during that time because he was not doing anything. And it's not often mentioned. But even though God was not saying anything through prophets during that 400-year period, there were some men who were doing some teaching. There were some men doing some writing and some speaking. And during that 400-year period of silence, there were some men who were doing some teaching about women. One of these men, 2nd century BC, was an aristocratic scholar in Jerusalem by the name of Ben Siriac. Now, this man exerted some influence, and Mr. Siriac had some interesting things to say that I want to share with you today. Siriac said that women can be good wives and mothers, and they need to be respected. But as you go back and you look at Siriac's writings, he said, if you don't like your wife, don't trust her. He said to men, if you give your wives any supplies, you make sure that you record what they are. Siriac, as he wrote, he said, you don't want to deed property to a woman. He said that women are responsible for sin coming into the world and their spite is unbearable. And then if this was not enough, I included the quote on the sheet that was handed out. He said, do not sit down with women, for moth comes out of clothes, and a woman's spite out of a woman. A man's spite is preferable to a woman's kindness. Women give rise to shame and reproach. Now you think, what a horrible man. Why would you say that kind of stuff on Mother's Day? Well, there's a reason for it. You see, the writings of this man and the writings of others during that 400-year period seems to have influenced people to the point where when we get to the first century, women are not looked upon very favorably. The Old Testament, they were. New Testament, they're not. So you have to ask the question, why does the Old Testament end on a pretty high note when it comes to women, but when the New Testament opens, it opens on a fairly low note? When you look at the writings of men like Ben Siriac, you have an understanding of that. When you come to the New Testament, and we could look at many books, but this morning our attention is going to be focused on Matthew, you begin to see, among other things, that God tried to get people to go back and realize the value of women. We want to see what God did as far as changing some hearts and minds through the book of Matthew. We want to go through the entire book of Matthew and see what it says about women. Matthew 1:1. This is where we start, and Matthew talks about the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Matthew, in that first verse of the first chapter, said, I want to talk to you, the Jews. He was writing for the Hebrew people. I want to talk to you about some ancestors. Matthew, as he goes through that long genealogy information, which a lot of people may be inclined to skip, he recalled several names. And as Matthew goes through those names, guess what? He lists five women. He references Tamar, Rahab, Ruth. He says the wife of Uriah, that of course would have been Bathsheba. And then he mentions Mary. When some of the Jews read through this book, when they started with the genealogy, I suspect that many of them were shocked because in the first century, if you were going to write a genealogy, they typically didn't include the women because they had such a low view of ladies. We can compare the women mentioned in Jesus' genealogy with what people like Ben Siriac had written and said previously. Remember again some of the quotes. Siriac was teaching women are not always trustworthy. Men, if they give them any supplies, they should keep track of what they give them. Don't deed property to any woman. Women are spiteful creatures. They are described as giving rise to spite and shame. That's what people were teaching. And Matthew comes along and says, look, I'm going to tell you about some women. What a shock. What a surprise. Now, someone might say, well, Brad, don't you know that the women, for the most part, that are mentioned in Jesus' genealogy had some moral problems? That's true. But so did some of the men. If including women in Jesus' genealogy was not outlandish enough, at the end of Matthew 1, Matthew did something else. He provides some information about a woman named Mary. Matthew said the Holy Spirit chose to act. Not only did the Holy Spirit choose to act, the Bible says the Holy Spirit chose to act on a woman. Matthew 1:18 and 20. The Jews may not have been too surprised had Matthew said that the Holy Spirit was going to be involved with some man. Matthew, though, said the Spirit acted on a woman. And not only did the Spirit act on a woman, the Bible says that that activity was designed to bring the Messiah into the world. We heard a few minutes ago the scripture, Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23 read. Matthew goes back about 700 years in history to the prophet Isaiah. Men did not always see women as trustworthy. Don't give them a deed, any property. What was God's view? God said, my view is much, much different. Men may think a woman can't be trusted with a deed to property. But God said, I'm going to entrust the Savior of the world to someone. Who's it going to be, God? God said, I'm going to entrust the only begotten Son, not just to humanity, but I'm going to entrust the only begotten Son to a woman. I'm going to entrust to a woman the only one who can save mankind from sin. It's going to be a woman who's going to be involved in caring for God in the flesh. We're not given the age of Mary, but most are of the persuasion that Mary was a young woman. So the first chapter of Matthew stands in contrast to a lot of the teaching that had been done about women. As we look into Matthew chapter 2, in just a moment, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. We have some more information which stands in contrast to what had been taught about women. In Matthew 2, we have some information about the wise men. Now, the shepherds, you may remember, came to see the Lord very early, and the wise men show up sometime later, much later. The wise men find the house where the Lord is, and this is what we find in Matthew 2, verse 11. And they came into the house and saw the young child with, here's our woman, with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him, and opening their treasures, they offered unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Where was Joseph? I don't know. He's not mentioned. Why did Matthew only mention Mary? Once again, highlighting, I think, the fact that women were, to God, important and are important. Men had some very bad things to say about women. Matthew 2, verse 11 presents the ladies in a very favorable light. Towards the end of the chapter, we have some information about Rachel. Matthew talked about Rachel weeping for children, as we find in the Old Testament. In a book written for the Jews, to a people who had come to look at women as little more than property. The first two chapters of Matthew point to women and say, they're valuable, they're precious, God's going to use them in an incredible way. By the time of Matthew 3, Jesus is an adult. This is important for many reasons, one of which is women. As the Lord moves into his earthly ministry, how was Jesus going to interact with women? Would he have picked up the view of men like Syriac? Or would he go back to that Old Testament view where women are extremely valuable? Well, we could look at Luke, and we could look at Mark, and we could look at John, but today our study is going to be limited to Matthew. Now, if we skip Matthew chapter 4, this is where we have some information about the Lord's temptations. We turn over to Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. That's where we have the Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember that when Jesus presented this sermon, he spoke about women? He talked about all kinds of things in the Sermon on the Mount, but he also talked about women. The reference to women is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 through 32. Here the Lord talked about divorcing a woman. Now you may remember that many of the Jews took marriage very, very lightly. Likely that was related to the 400-year silent period. People had so many bad things to say about women that by the time the first century comes, there were some men who believed that if you get tired of your wife, if she's not pretty enough, if she doesn't do this, if she doesn't do that, you just dump her. You get rid of her. You can find someone who is younger, someone who is prettier, someone who is this, or someone who is that. By the time of the first century, women were often viewed as something like property. But what's Jesus say? Matthew 5, verse 32. He said, but I say unto you, this is how it used to be. This is how you've been living. But Jesus came along and said, there is a new law coming. There is the New Testament coming. And one of the things that the New Testament is going to do is to put women back in the rightful place. They're going to be elevated. The Lord, as he gives that information about divorce, said women are not like property. It was wrong to divorce a wife at will and find someone else to marry. Jesus was affirming that women were not like property. He said if there's a need for divorce, there's one reason for that. To put away your wife, marry another, and that's fornication. Men may have appeared to have all the power. Men may have appeared to have all the cards. But Jesus said, that's going to change. Jesus laid a foundation for women as far as their importance in the Sermon on the Mount, but did he follow through? As the Lord gets out into his active ministry and starts teaching, how did the Lord teach about women? Well, one answer to that question comes from the next chapter after the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew chapter 8. You may remember from Matthew 8, verse 14, that Peter had a house. One day Jesus is over there. Comes to Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. When the Lord was exposed to this sick woman, what did he do? Well, you're like a piece of property. I have no interest in you. If it were a man, I'd heal you. The Bible says, Matthew 8, verse 15, that Jesus healed this woman. Jesus healed men in the sense of males. If someone had the ability to heal in that culture, someone might have said, well, heal the guys first. We know about the importance of men and the women. Well, if you get around to them, heal them. But that's not what Jesus did. The Lord was willing to heal women just as quickly, just as ably, just as fully as he was able to heal men. We find that Jesus not only healed adult women, the Lord also healed females who had not yet reached the adult years. In Matthew chapter 9, looking at verse 18, we have here some information about a Jewish synagogue. There was a man who was involved with that, and he said his daughter had died. He said, if only you come by, you can restore my daughter's life. Have you ever read through that and noticed how Jesus didn't say, if you had a son, I'd come? If it were a boy that died, yes, I would be there lickety-split. You have a daughter, and because it's a female, my answer is no. No, Jesus respected women. He loved women. Neither did he say, there are some males over here that need assistance. And if I'm not too tired when I get through with them, I'll come help you. Let me get some free time and I'll go take care of the daughter. He said none of those things. Jesus had as much time for women as he did for men. Now the account in Matthew 9 is especially noteworthy because as you read through it, you find that Matthew took a little detour. Jesus is headed out to restore the life of the deceased daughter. But as you look at the account, there's another female that shows up. Let's get these details from Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 20 and reading down through 21. And behold, Jesus is headed to that household, and now the Bible says, behold, there was a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. For she said within herself, if I do but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Now this woman was sick. She had a very serious problem. It was a long-standing problem. She was not a personal friend of Jesus. The fact that this woman, this stranger, went to Jesus and felt like she could touch him and receive help shows that Jesus was someone who made women feel welcome. Others may have seen this woman as a burden, someone to make them unclean, someone not worthy of attention. But that was not Jesus' attitude. The Lord, even though he's headed off to bring that young girl back to life, this other woman shows up. And Jesus takes the time to not only heal her, but he takes the time to speak with her. Notice verse 22. But Jesus turned and seeing her said, daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. In a culture where women were often seen as nothing more than a piece of land, Jesus looks at this woman, speaks to her in a kind way, and fully addresses her need. The Lord loved women. Jesus loved mothers. The Lord had time for women and mothers. Part of that time was used to warn women. In Matthew 10, verse 35, Jesus said that mothers and mothers-in-law would one day face some conflicts because of the gospel. He took time to warn them, if you want to be one of my disciples, this is one of the things that you need to be prepared for. He could have just went out and talked to the men and said, this is one of the things that may happen to your family. He didn't do that. He also took the time to warn mothers about commitment. He told mothers, if they love their children more than him, that was going to be a problem, Matthew 10, verse 37. There may be occasions where someone makes it clear that they are simply too busy for us. I don't have time for you today. Maybe I don't have time for you this week. But that was not true for Jesus. The Lord saw women, some of whom were mothers, just as valuable as men. And he showed that. He illustrated that on a number of occasions. Two chapters later, Matthew chapter 12. In the 48th verse of Matthew chapter 12, the Bible tells us that Jesus used mothers to illustrate who's going to be saved. He said, those who do the Father's will, they are like the Lord's mother and like the Lord's brethren. When Jesus taught in parables, he spoke favorably about women. One illustration of that would be Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Then this. Do you remember how Jesus fed people? Fed thousands of people from virtually nothing. As the food was distributed, the Bible specifically says that women were included. Matthew chapter 14, verse 21. Then in that next chapter, Matthew chapter 15, the Lord was living under the Old Testament law. the Lord taught some things relative to the Old Testament law. And Jesus reminded the people, the young people, when it comes time to the Ten Commandments, you remember mom and dad when it's time to honor parents. Don't leave out mom, Matthew 15, verse 4. There's another female incident in Matthew 15. This one involves a Gentile woman. This lady had a daughter who was demon-possessed. Can you imagine that? A mom, her precious daughter, possessed by a spirit of the devil. And that was doing evil things to the daughter. Do you remember? Jesus' apostles were made aware of this woman's daughter. The woman who was desperate for help, and you can read it for yourself. But if you look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 23, here's what the apostles of Christ said. Send her away. Here's this woman, get rid of her. We don't want to mess with her. Get her out of our midst. We don't have time for this woman. What did Jesus say? He healed the woman's daughter, evicted the spirit, completely cured her. A few chapters later, Matthew chapter 19, we have some information once again about marriage and divorce. But here some additional information is given. The Lord, as he talks about that subject, refers to creation and says, God made them male and female. Have you ever thought about the words male and female? Have you ever noticed that male is in both words, M-A-L-E, F-E-M-A-L-E? The only difference between the two is there is the F-E when it comes to female. God made women a little differently. But both are humans. Both are made in the image of God. Women are no less important than men. Then in Matthew chapter 20, we have some information about a woman coming to Jesus, a mother. And this mom wants some special favors for her sons. Have you ever considered that dad didn't come and do the asking? Where was dad? We don't know. But it was mom who came along and wanted great positions for sons. Two chapters later, Matthew chapter 22, we have some Sadducees showing up. We talked about them in Bible class this morning. And they try to trap Jesus. They ask about this woman who had been married to seven different brothers. And the Lord, as he talks about this imaginary woman, showed that they're going to be just like angels in heaven. When he talked about the destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 24, verse 19, he talked about the fact that there would be women who would be suffering, but God was still going to be concerned about them, just as concerned as the men. Women are used to illustrate salvation and condemnation. They're that important. You may remember from Matthew chapter 25, the teaching about the 10 virgins. Five were wise, five were foolish. There were some women who made the right choice. Jesus uses the female race and pictures them in a very positive light as far as the five wise ones. There was the woman, next chapter, Matthew chapter 26, who poured that perfume on the Lord's body shortly before Jesus went to the cross. Do you remember the woman that poured the perfume on the Lord's body? Do you remember what the disciples said? It's a waste. Now, as I think about that, in my mind, I wonder if the disciples were not connecting that event with some of that thinking that had taken place during the 400-year silent period. Oh, those women, you can't trust them. Oh, those women, they're not going to make good decisions. Yep, here's a woman, and she messed up the possession. What'd Jesus say? If you look carefully at the text, Matthew chapter 26, verse 13, Jesus didn't say she messed up. Jesus didn't say, oh, I'm so upset with you. Jesus said this woman did a good thing. And not only did she do a good thing, her act is going to be remembered, and her act is going to be discussed throughout the Christian era. That was more than 2,000 years ago, and it's still being done today. Good job, lady. The guys fouled it up. The woman got it right. When Jesus was before Pilate, not long before he was crucified, do you remember that a woman showed up? Who was it? It was Pilate's wife. What did that wife try to tell her husband? She said, I've suffered many things this night in a dream. Don't have anything to do with that righteous man. You need to let this thing go. Pilate didn't listen. Women were inside of the crucifixion area. Women came to the Lord's tomb early. The world, as we look at it throughout human history, it's treated women in many different ways, oftentimes badly. But the Bible, from the very first to the very end, treats women in a consistent and wonderful way. Early on, Genesis 3, verse 20, the Bible says that Eve was the mother of all living. Multiple texts in the Bible, old and new, point to the glory the beauty and the honor of women. Men, though, have often tried to diminish the power and the beauty of women. Some of that was in that 400-year silent period. Some of it was before that. Some of that has come after that. And if the world continues to stand, we'll probably see more of it. Sometimes it's claimed that the Bible has a negative view of women. Well, we've seen this morning that that's not true. If our mother is still living, sadly some are not, but some still have a mother alive, honor her today and take every opportunity that you have to honor mom. If you're married, honor your wife today and work on doing that every day. Children, honor your mom today, tomorrow, and all the days that follow. Encourage and lift up the females in your life. We wish each mother a happy Mother's Day. It's a great day for a lot of people. But, like any other day, there are some people who on days like this are still struggling. And at this point in the lesson, we want to offer an invitation to you if you're struggling with something. If you need to be encouraged and you'd like a public prayer on your behalf, we'd be glad to do that for you today. If you're someone who's become a Christian, maybe as a mother, maybe not, and you feel like you've gotten off the right path and headed down the wrong road, this morning we'd like to encourage you in whatever way is right. If you're someone who has not yet become a Christian, maybe you've been influenced in the right way by a mother or another female or someone else, maybe a young person, maybe a dad, grandparent, and this morning you know God's plan for salvation. You know that you have to believe in Christ, for without faith we cannot please God. You know that repentance is required, turning from the old life. And this morning you're thinking, I need to confess Christ. And finally, I need to take that last step, baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38 and Acts 22, verse 16. This morning, that option is also available to you. If we can help you in some way on this great day, will you let us know what that need is now as we stand and sing the selected song?